9:05, welcome back to the Chad Acey Show on News Talk 790 KFYO, online at KFYO.com. And you can download the Radio Pop app, and you can take the show and the station wherever you go. Absolutely free on your iPhone, Android phone, and you can take us whenever you're traveling this Christmas season. No many people start hitting the roads, even this weekend, even today, people start hitting the roads. So you can take KFYO programming to wherever you will be going this Christmas season. You know, it's a nice little Christmas gift to spread to everybody as a little KFYO programming. Be like, man, this is what you're missing. This is what you're missing right here. So go online. You can listen to the program. Also, you can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. That's where the show continues all day long via Facebook and Twitter. Love social media and the interaction that we get with the listeners there. Now, the race for 2014 is still going on, and it'll heat up even more after the new year. And joining me right now, a candidate in the Republican primary for governor here in the state of Texas. Yes, there's more than just one Republican running. Lisa Fritsch, her website, Lisa4Texas.com. Lisa, good morning. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and telling us a little bit about your campaign. First, let our listeners know a little bit about yourself, because you know that's all part of this process, is informing the people about your background and why you think you'd be a good governor.
Well, here's the deal. You know, I became a conservative activist and advocate in the late 90s. You know, growing up with conservative values, surrounded by, you know, Democrats, but not knowing I was a Republican until going to UT and thinking I was a liberal and then finding out this was dead wrong. This wasn't the value. You know, these weren't the values I grew up with. And as I began to study brilliant writers like Thomas Sowell and Shelby Steele and Larry Elder, I knew that was the camp I belonged to. And I started writing and being a conservative activist when I realized that the left had been deceiving the black community. And it became my passion and my mission to make sure that conservative values had a platform in the black community, because the left was winning the battle on racism. And when you fast forward today, I see that now that they have conquered that battleground, now they have boxed the Republican Party in on the issue of sexism. And that happened after, you know, Mitt Romney lost in 2012. I thought that Texas was safe until the Democrats anointed Wendy Davis as their new great hope and their new candidate for the future. And that wouldn't have scared me so much, except that I see they were so successful in destroying the black community based on racism. And now they're doing a great job disjointing the country and winning this battle with single women and single mothers. And I thought, you know, what can I do to make sure that this state of Texas stays sovereign? What can I do to make sure we don't lose Texas and lose the White House? And I realized that this was a very important election, and one that the Republican Party was not paying close enough attention to, one that the Republican Party has taken for granted and has decided that, you know, they're going to act like Goliath in this battle instead of be more like David, which is, you know, see themselves as the underdog, which we are in this state. We can't take for granted that Texas is red enough and that people will just simply go out and vote for candidates who we pass the baton to. The Republican Party has to start fielding exciting, dynamic candidates who can move this party and the state into the 21st century, because frankly, the demographics don't lie. We have to be the future of this party, or else, you know, there's no Republican Party in Texas.
Let me ask you this. When you go out into, because you brought up the black community and what Democrats have just been attracted to the Democratic Party, Do you find it that people are surprised that you're a conservative?
Well, here's what I think about being a conservative right now, the issue that's so important, and another reason I joined this particular race. It's not just because I'm a black woman. If also because I have better ideas about how the Republican Party needs to be more inclusive to these communities who share our values but have been rejecting us because they haven't understood where we're coming from. And my point is that it's not good enough for the Republican Party to continue criticizing the left for going into these communities and giving the fish away. Until we step up and be the teachers of people how to fish. And that is exactly what my campaign policies do. And we have to be able to go into these communities and offer an alternative besides, you know, we believe in pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. We believe that nobody's a victim because things have happened in these communities where, you know, people are victimized. If we don't step in and fill that role, make them a part of our values and our party, then the Democrats are going to have rampant success being the ones who pretend they care by giving handouts.
There are some who would maybe listen to that and say, well, can't you do that without being governor? What would you bring to the governor's mansion?
And let me tell you why you can't do that without being governor. Because when you go into the communities, and I've done it, and you speak from a talk radio show host, or people have seen me on Fox News Channel, what they see me as is someone who has been, you know, exploited, that I have been paid off or selling out. As governor, I have a microfinance plan that takes from the enterprise fund that Perry has created, takes from that model, and goes in and empowers people in economically depressed areas to help them start a business with a mini loan, $5,000, $10,000, partnered with the experience and guidance of finance firms and mentors to make sure that their business stays successful, to make sure that it goes to the right type of people, and to make sure that it's actually something that can work. And so when you go into a community and you talk about ideas you have that can uplift them out of poverty and make them part of the economic agenda, that's more powerful than going in and having a speech about why you should vote for this particular candidate, this particular party.
When it comes to education is obviously big in the state of Texas. It is obviously debated quite heatedly at times in the state of Texas. What are your plans as far as education goes?
My plan is to make sure that everyone knows that parents should be able to decide where their children go to school, not their zip code. And I noticed, you know, my opponent said he wanted to make Texas number one in education. Well, that sounds good, but how are we going to do that? I would like to see us talk about people being able to opt out of a public school system if they choose to, or you can opt into a public school of your choice outside of your zip code. That's something that's easy to do. You know, I met with a group of homeschoolers who said, you know, we're not interested in vouchers. We're not interested in any kickbacks or anything that the state government can offer us. Why? We are not regulated. We are not monitored. We simply want to be left alone. And there's a lot of parents out there who want to be able to make that decision but are spending, you know, a lot of money to live in a nice area, or they want to live in a certain community, that might say, gosh, you know, I want to be left alone too. I would like my money to be spent on a private school so that my child can have, you know, a biblical education. Mm. It is our obligation to be able to have them be able to use their property taxes for education in the way they choose, in the way they see fit. And this is not an admonishment of, you know, the public school system, because there's a lot of communities who love their public school. I'm a product of public school, and I love public school. But there has to be alternatives for parents who want a different choice.
Visiting with Lisa Fritsch, running for governor in the Republican primary. I'm sure you get this question a lot. Obviously, Greg Abbott is the big favorite in this race. He's got a huge war chest. Why keep going?
You know, I don't think the way you worry that is wrong. He's not the favorite. He is the presumptive. He is the presented choice. Come and meet your candidate. A lot of people, that's why we're so busy getting the word out, is because when people hear our message, we win. it's you know, people don't know that there's an option, and this has been the arrogance of the Republican Party, which is why we've been losing so much. You know, we've been running against Obama for 5 years, and it's not working. I am running for the people of Texas and for the Republican Party so that there is actually something that, you know, we are fighting for, not just against, that, you know, makes us seem tone deaf to the needs of every Texan in this state.
When it comes to the last legislative session, there were some who criticized the amount of spending that went on. Were you one of those who criticized the amount of spending that the last legislative session approved of? And what are some other issues that, if you were governor, you would have done a little bit differently, or maybe made some emergency calls for, and maybe would have presented in a more serious light?
You know, if I were governor, here's two things I would have done differently. I would have instituted, like you said, like I mentioned to you, a microfinance program to point to the 18.8% of Texans who are living in poverty below the poverty line. I think it's embarrassing that you have a state that's doing so well top down to have a level of poverty that's almost 20%. The second thing I would have done, especially concerning HB2, that became, you know, that basically allowed Wendy Davis to filibuster and become an international celebrity, mm-hmm. is I would have partnered that HB2 bill with Life is a Terrible Thing to Waste. Because, again, we can't just start talk to people about laws, Supreme Court cases, and condemnation where the life issue is concerned. I would have evoked, the remnants of, like, the United Negro College Fund, A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste. And I would have partnered that bill with a program to go into these economically depressed communities, again, because that's where Planned Parenthood sets up. You know, they don't go to Highland Park and Westlake and, they don't go to those nice places in Dallas and Houston and Austin. And I would have made sure that there was something to partner that with life skills training, public service announcements that speak to these women's lives having value, life being a miracle, their bodies being a miracle. And don't be afraid to talk about, you know, the issue of sexual education being more than about reproductive health, but being about having a vision for these young women's futures.
Visiting with Lisa Fritsch, Republican candidate for governor. Lisa, I appreciate your time today. People can find out more about yourself and where you stand on the issues at Lisa4Texas.com. And again, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll visit with you again after the new year, okay?
Please do. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. That's Lisa Fritsch, Republican candidate for governor, running against, of course, Greg Abbott. And there are a few others who are running in that race as well.